This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
What did Britain call it? The thing in your fridge?
Turd, the...
freezer turd?
Fridge turd or something like that? Or beer turd?
Fridge turd. It's the beer that's sitting in the back of your fridge for months and months.
Let's not bring that up. Oh, shit.
Guess what? We just brought it up. This is the cold open. Are you guys ready to do this?
Let's do it.
All right. From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. Tonight's episode, we have a stouting match for you. Not a shouting match, a stouting match. And we have five different stouts to try. A milk stout from Firestone, a breakfast stout from McKellar, a campfire stout from Highwater, a Big Bad Baptist Imperial stout from Epic, and Goose Island's Bourbon County, a famous beer. I'm Dallas Hilliker. Joining me tonight, remotely from their respective houses in Pasadena, California, Jeff Miller, and in Fair Oaks, Joel Miner. Hey guys, how's it going?
Fantastic.
Welcome in. Well, last time Joel and I did one, he was at home and using his new microphone, and we did a IPA show. So I figured we were past due for a stout show. And it hasn't quite cooled down wintertime yet, but in the morning there's a little chill in the air, and football's now on, so you know you're getting close to wintertime, and so it's good that we can warm up some of these darker, more wintry beers and figure out some good ones for the upcoming season.
And I'm just glad to be here. Last time you guys did a show, I couldn't make it. I was in Nashville, but you know, that's when I called in to update you guys, and I'm glad to actually be here drinking some beers with you guys.
For sure. Well, let's get into the first beer. We have, starting out a little lighter, 5.5% from Firestone Walker Brewing Company. This is the Nitro Merlin Milk Stout.
I think that was some synchronized can opening there.
Yeah, so make sure you guys read the label here. It says stop and pour hard into a glass. I'm trying to figure out how to pour hard.
Put it straight upside down.
I just don't want to overflow my glass.
But yeah, it is interesting because this can has descriptions almost, you know, there's like if you have a Guinness, there's a proper way to pour a Guinness, and you know, a lot of beers, obviously there's good ways and bad ways, but for Firestone to put this on the can, that's pretty cool. But I guess it's because it's a nitro beer, not a lot of nitro beers in a can.
Yeah,
there's so, some obviously.
I mean, a 12 ounce beer, I poured it hard into a 16 ounce pint glass and the foam came all the way to the top of the rim and didn't go over. So it was like it was kind of designed for this type of pour.
Color-wise on this one, I mean, all the beers tonight are going to be somewhere between like brown, dark brown, and black. This one is pretty dark, actually darker than I expected. Basically black. It's always hard to tell without some natural light, but the head on this is that creamy, you know, only the type of head that you get from a beer on nitro.
Yeah. And this is it's a milk stout as well.
Nitro lends itself well to milk stouts because it gives kind of that chalky, airy quality, kind of a milky quality. So you'll have milk stouts that are not nitro. And I think this just makes it all the more milky.
It's a fantastic aroma. I mean, before even taking one sip, it smells delicious.
What's it smell like?
Lactose, milky creaminess.
So is this a lactose beer brewed with lactose?
Yeah, it might be. I don't know if it's a lot of these milk stouts will have lactose in them. It doesn't specifically say. Let me have a sip.
So the head was like two full fingers, and now it's dissipated down to one finger. So in the first 2 minutes, I've lost half the head, but it's still this very thick, foamy type of stout, milk stout head, a nitro head.
Yeah, I'm impressed with how much foam there is, and it's not, the head is very, it's like an accumulation of a bunch of tiny bubbles. Like, you'll get head that has like the big bubbles, but these are like billions of tiny little bubbles, which I actually kind of like.
I love this taste already. I mean, it's just got this such a creamy mouthfeel. Like, the consistency, the texture, the carbonation is perfect with this beer. You know, it's not full-bodied. I'd call it like sort of light to medium-bodied. But just that mouthfeel is incredible.
Yeah, so it has those dark roasted malts, but not overpowering. And that creaminess really balances it out. So you have a dark, very malty, robust beer there, but it gets balanced out by this creaminess. So you're not overwhelmed by the dark, gritty quality of it.
So if you guys could say one thing is missing from this beer, what would you say?
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with your question exactly, but I would say it's lacking sweetness, which I appreciate.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It lacks sweetness. And it's funny because I think you appreciate it because it is light bodied, but I actually want the sweetness because I feel like there's some good malt flavors in there, but I think they're not really drawn out because there's no sweetness to accompany them.
Yeah. And we have some coffee stouts on the show later tonight, but I think that this beer would be appreciated by coffee drinkers. And not ones that put a lot of sugar in their coffee, but if you drink coffee with just cream, you get that kind of coffee bitterness and kind of the cream to cut it a little bit. And I think that's a fair analogy to this beer.
And the latte taste to it as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, you know, at Starbucks, they have the, you know, it's like a cold brew with the creamy, foamy head. I don't know what it is, but it has a very similar texture to this, but I like that there's not the sweetness. I know, you know, when you're asking the question, what is it lacking? I think people would interpret that as, is there something missing that makes the beer bad? I don't think so. I mean, we might disagree on this, but I really like that this beer is not sweet. I like the bold flavors and the creamy sort of vanilla lactose feel to it.
It's definitely a good starter beer. I mean, this is one of those beers in the winter that you could drink a ton of and really enjoy it. It's not going to overwhelm you. It's a stand up nitro beer.
Yeah. And then you compare it to its big brother, the Velvet Merlin, which is a great beer in and of itself. But this kind of takes a little off the gas on that and then adds that milky quality. So it's not just Velvet Merlin with the nitro. This is a different beer that just kind of shares the name. And I think I wouldn't like it as much if it was just some knockoff of Velvet Merlin. This is actually its own thing, which I can appreciate.
I think it's great. I think the nitro really enhances this beer. It is far better than what I remember, you know, any Firestone stouts tasting like. And Firestone makes great beers. So I'm impressed.
Yep. Definitely off to a good start.
And now, the beer news of the day.
So I picked out a couple of news stories today. The first that kind of caught my eye was that Founders Brewing, which I believe is now the biggest brewery in the state of Michigan, has decided to lower its prices on its, it's called the Solid Gold. It's like it's lager, you know, kind of a light drinkable type of beer. And so they've decided to lower their price to try and compete and get it down to a price point where it competes with Budweiser and Miller Lite and Coors. They call that BMC, the big boys of beer. And you look at this can, the Solid Gold lager. I don't know if you guys can Google it, or you'll see it at some point because it's now in every store. but it actually looks kind of like an Olympia. It's like a it's like they're trying to make a macro looking beer to actually compete with Miller Lite and Coors Light and Bud Light and Olympia and, you know, Old Milwaukee and all those cheap old macro American beers. Their can looks like that type of beer, and now they've lowered the price to match it. And it's, you always read about Budweiser trying to take on the craft breweries and try and steal some market share from them. And now a craft brewery, Founders, is making a Budweiser-like beer and lowering the price and trying to take market share away from the big guys. So I thought it was pretty interesting, and I was pretty amazed by it. So definitely a story that caught my eye.
I swear I see this beer everywhere. I think I've probably only had it once in my life, but you're right. I see it everywhere. It's very prominent. It's got this unique classic can. I think it's cool that they're lowering the price. I think it's a good strategy.
Yeah, definitely a unique one. You hear all this competition in the beer market, and that's one that goes the other way. I haven't really seen that yet. So, actor Kelsey Grammer is opening up a brewery in the Catskills. So, upstate New York's Catskill Mountains, on the edge of the park there. He's opening a brewery called Faith American Brewing Company. So, they showed some pictures of him visiting some other breweries up there. And so, I guess he's a big beer fan, and that's where he chose to open up his brewery. So, interesting to see what comes out of there. Let's see what else we got here.
Even though on Frasier, I don't think he drank beer at all.
He drank wine on Frasier, and he drank beer on Cheers. Yeah.
He'd probably be pretty good at a podcast, though.
Yeah, he has the pipes for it.
If you're out there, we'd love to have you on the show.
Yeah, Kelsey, come on. We'll have you on the show anytime. Talk about your beer. Send us on. We'll promote it. We'll come visit you up in upstate New York and check out the brewery. It'll be a lot of fun.
He drank like sherry. I think he drinks sherry on Frasier every day, right?
I never saw an episode.
Oh,
a full that's episode. A good show. You know, I'd flip through and see a couple things, but he got a lot of mileage out of that character, though. Like, well, Cheers was on for 9-11 years. And then he got another 8 years out of Frasier, so he had put a pretty good career together on the one guy. Doesn't happen too often.
Yeah, no, Frasier was like 20-some years. It's one of the longest-running shows ever.
11.
We'll have to check the math on that.
maybe 10, but it was a while.
11.
So the Brewers Association has launched a new national campaign where they are going to be advertising on YouTube and Facebook and different social media, where you might see a video. They'll play a little pre-roll of it, and it kind of advertises their independent beer seal, which you're starting to see on beers now. And so here's their little clip.
Independence defines us. It's the freedom to create with no limits. It's the difference between real craft beer and the rest. For more than 6,000 independent craft breweries, there's a seal that represents that independence. It marks a community that answers only to beer. Our bottles and cans may not have the flag, but our beer is made with everything it stands for. Seek the seal and know that's independence you're tasting.
So, yeah, that seal, I actually used it for the first time the other day. I was looking at beers in the aisle, and I saw one that was not Elysian, but it was some other brewery that I thought might have been a sellout. I can't remember which one it was, but I look at the bottle and then I see that independent little logo. And I'm like, oh, okay, this one's a real craft brewery and not one that has sold out. But then that gets back into, you know, what a craft brewery is and how much has to be sold in order to be considered a sellout and all this stuff. And then we'll read it in the comments, but we posted a St. Archer Beer, which is a Miller Coors company, and someone immediately posts on Instagram, not craft or whatever, like calling us out for having a beer that wasn't a craft brewery or one that sold out to one of the big ones. And, you know, but sometimes they, it's good beer. You know, we had a Firestone beer as the first beer. It was a really good beer. And they, by some definitions, could be considered one of these sellouts because they sold a large part of their business to a foreign entity. I guess there's a lot of infighting about the designations of what craft is, and that is one way you can tell if it meets whatever the Brewers Association definition of craft is.
It's a beer justice warrior, like a social justice warrior, but like a beer justice warrior. I mean, it starts getting to a point where it's like, it's really hard to define what's appropriate and what's not in the craft beer scene, and what, I don't know, what it's almost like virtue posturing, you know, hey, this is a craft beer. This is not a craft beer. And we're going to try to make a stand here, but really good beer is just good beer.
Well, to me, craft beer is not necessarily whether they sold out or not. I mean, and I think the definition has probably changed over time. I think it's good that they classify themselves as independent. I think that makes a lot more sense, whether it's independent versus this like huge conglomerate. But I think craft beer is more of just like the style of making smaller batches, different from like these huge macro operations where it's just a different recipe in terms of quality and how you make the beer, not necessarily who owns it.
So what about like Sierra Nevada Pale Ale? I mean, so that beer, that very specific beer, I mean, that is mass produced, but I would still consider that a craft beer.
Sure.
And it's also independent.
And it's changed over time. I mean, that was one of the first craft beers that, you know, we grew up drinking, and I would still consider it a craft beer for sure. But a place like St. Archer that made craft beer, just because they sold out to Miller Coors, does not make them no longer craft beer. It just means exactly. They sold out, but it still could be considered craft beer.
Sure. And, you know, where is the beer being made? Is a St. Archer beer now different than one that it was when we went to that brewery when it opened? I don't think it's that different. So until we start seeing changes in the actual product, then, you know, just because whoever's paying the bills or whatever changes, you know, if the beer doesn't change, then how can you really start knocking it?
Yeah. Well, and also they're talking about the independence factor, the factor that, hey, we have the ability to make choices that we want to make. A lot of these, what we would call sold out, breweries still have that independence to make the choice that they want. There may be, yes, a level of accountability, but they're still given the independent choice to make small batch versions of their craft styles.
That's true.
Yeah, it's comparing apples and oranges. I think some people just have taken the word craft and associated that with whether it is independent or not. And to me, they're two different things. I mean, we're going to have a Goose Island beer tonight that has been owned for a long time. You know, it started out as an independent brewery. It's now been owned by, you know, Anheuser-Busch for a long time. Most people would probably still consider that craft beer, but it is definitely not independent.
No, and we'll post it online and someone's going to write, you know, not craft or whatever, or, you know, big beer, hashtag, whatever. So that's going to happen.
Well, I'm not advocating for it. Not advocating for big, you know, conglomerates by any means, but they're just two different things.
Right. But I mean, it seems like to me, a lot of these are come down to, they used to be beholden to themselves to make a profit and to do good financially. And now they're beholden to some bigger company to turn a profit and, you know, make money financially. And if the big beer invested in that brewery because they're well managed, they make a good product, they're, you know, successful financially, and they consider that an investment, and can help them grow and expand their market share and whatever, then in some ways it's just helping them spread good beer farther than they might regularly be able to do. So I'm not going to be a big beer apologist or anything like that, but you know, I think there are so many people that are so negative on it that I think it gets taken a little too far sometimes.
Hear, hear.
All right, well, let's get into the next beer. You guys have one that I do not have, so you guys are going to drink a beer, and I'm going to watch you guys drink it. This is from McKellar.
Creepy.
All right, well, I'll continue to drink this milk stout while you guys drink the new breakfast beer. It's called Beer Geek Breakfast, 7.5%. McKellar is a brewery from Denmark that has breweries in the United States in San Diego, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. And I don't know if those are just tap houses or, you know, where you can go and have a beer and a meal, or if they are actually brewing beer there. I think they are. So in some ways, McKellar is kind of a nomad brewery that has now found places to set down some roots in the United States. But they are widespread. You can get them all over the place here in California and probably the whole country.
I think this is going to be a repetitive comment tonight. This is similar pour to the, you know, the Merlin, I'm sorry, the Firestone Nitro Merlin that we had. It's dark. It's almost as dark, maybe even darker than our previous pour, you know, dark brown, almost black, and about a finger of head.
See, for mine, the head is much thinner, and it is dissipating super quickly. It's darker colored. It's like a dark khaki color, as opposed to the Firestone one had sort of a light tan color. But my head just is gone after like 10 seconds in the glass.
So when you started talking, I had a finger of head, and now I have no head.
Which is not, you know, I think with most stouts, the head tends to last for a little while. This disappears pretty quickly.
I'm getting a lot of roasted malts and vanilla flavor.
Yeah, the aroma on this one is pretty strong. Roasted malt, coffee, for sure. I mean, this is what a stout smells like. You know, I'm surprised on the taste. It's good, but there's not as much coffee flavor as I expected. There's a lot of the roasted malt flavors, some caramel sweetness, but and there's some coffee, but it is not overwhelmingly coffee by any means.
But you got to be honest. I agree with everything you said. At 7.5%, you've got to be honest. You thought it was going to be way sweeter. It is not that sweet for 7.5%.
Which, again, like the last beer, I like. I don't like stouts that are overly sweet. Like some of these, you know, I think there's a whole nother category of stouts where there's like these dessert beers or dessert stouts that are so sweet. You know, Evil Twin makes quite a few of them. Some other ones that I've had that I just don't like because they are so sweet. And I get that some people do, but I like a stout like this that has more of the malty flavor, a little bit of like vanilla sweetness, light sweetness, but not like the strong sweetness like some of them have.
Yeah, so I had a cigar today, and I got to be honest, this adds to the taste of the cigar that I have in a little bit of the back of my mouth. Like, it is just adding it's like that smoky, it's like bringing out that smoky, roasted taste that I have still in the back of my throat from the cigar I had. I like this a lot. I think it's well-balanced. If you're going to have a 7.5% stout and come at me with a ton of malt flavor and a lot of coffee flavor, but not a lot of sweetness, I'm going to instantly say this is a very well-balanced beer, and I'm thoroughly impressed. And this is a big brewery, right? I mean, we get this out here. There's everywhere I go, I see beers from Beer Geek.
Yeah, McKellar's, I mean, like Dallas said, it's from Copenhagen, Denmark, but then they branched out into the U.S., so there's tasting rooms all over the U.S. I think even in Chicago and New York now. I was at the one in San Francisco, I think in July, and it's more of like felt like a little bit like a restaurant, like a brew pub type of place, but they make a lot of beers from a lot of really different styles. They make some great IPAs, lots of stouts, some saisons and sours. I mean, they're all over the place, and they make every style, you know, really well. But yeah, these breakfast stouts have been around for a while, the Beer Geek ones. This is great. This is a really tasty beer. I like this one as well.
This is like the, for the hardcore alcohol drinkers, this is like the Bloody Mary of stouts. This is what, it's funny because it's called Breakfast Stout, but it actually does remind me of a very enjoyable, drinkable beer early in the morning, especially after you've done a night of drinking. I think I could pound this.
Well, I think what I like about this one, it's very balanced. There's like all the flavors, like muted is the wrong word because nothing is muted, but there's nothing that overwhelms. There's a fair amount of like earthy hop flavors, but there's just the right amount of caramel, chocolate, coffee, vanilla. Not any one of them stands out as being like too aggressive. It's just a really nice mix of all these sort of malty flavors.
So is the mouth feel, what's the mouth feel like compared to that milk stout? Is it just not as milky smooth as that nitro?
So it's, I think if we had not had the Firestone Walker beer, I would call this a creamy mouthfeel, but in comparison to the nitro, it's not creamy at all. But compared to a lot of stouts, it's creamy. I think it's got a sort of dry carbonation.
Do you get the carbonation on it? Can you feel the bubbles on your tongue?
Absolutely, yeah.
More so than the last beer.
And if you twirl the glass around, the carbonation definitely just instantly activates. I was concerned that it was going to be flat. I think, Jeff, when you poured it, you probably thought the same thing. Like, man, these bubbles are almost non-existent after a couple of seconds. It's going to be flat. But if you twirl that glass around, those bubbles instantly activate. The head just like comes back.
So if I say that the Firestone Walker Milk Stout was on the flavor scale, it was about like a 4, where it's a little muted, a little more drinkable, a little tamer. Does this crank up that just overall flavor level more so, or is it still kind of reserved like that?
I think it's still reserved. It just adds a little bit of sugar and a little bit of coffee. But for the style, if you're talking about a coffee stout, I still think it's closer to 6 or 5.
I think this has more flavor than the Firestone Walker Nitro Merlin. I think that one had a better mouthfeel, but this one has more pronounced flavors of the coffee, a little bit more sweetness, like Joel said. It's just a different style. I mean, I think when you compare a nitro stout to a coffee stout, they're just two very different animals, and both of these were very, very good.
Nice. Well, I wish I got to try it, but I'll have to look for that in the store. Maybe I will be able to come up with it and give it a shot myself. All right, that will conclude the first half of the show. When we come back, we have 3 more stouts of different kinds to try, plus comments from the listeners, and Jeff will recap his weekend in Portland. All that when we come back. This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
How'd you know I was going to talk about that?
You have to. You posted on Instagram. Everyone wants to know now.
I know. It's true. I was super drunk for every one of those photos.
All right, if you like this show and want to help us out, a couple ways you can do that. The first is by rating and reviewing this show on iTunes.
Beer of the Day.
If you give us a 5 rating, you know, if you like us, you give us a 5, and it helps us move up the list. And then more people that are out searching for people that talk about beer on podcasts, they'll come across us, and then we get a new listener. So that helps us. The other way you can help us is by shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. Go to beeroftheday.com. At the top, there's a little thing that says shop on Amazon. You click that. You do your regular shopping, or you just go to amazon.beeroftheday.com, buy something like a dog bowl or a beer glass. You can buy those nice, fancy IPA glasses. And then we'll get a little piece of commission from Amazon based on what you spent. So if you spent, you know, $100, we might get $6 or $4 more likely. And that helps, that adds up and then helps us buy beer for the show and pay for our website hosting and, you know, mainly beer. You know, it's a lot of beer expenses. So if you shop on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website, you will help us out, and we appreciate it.
Beer is not the answer. Beer is the question. Yes is the answer. Let's get back into the Beer of the Day podcast. Take
a straight and strong. Welcome back. Let's get right into the next beer we have from High Water Brewing, which is somewhat of a local brewery. I think the owner is from Stockton. I work in Stockton. And so around Stockton, Sacramento, all around Northern California, you get a lot of these High Water beers. I think technically they're in San Leandro, which is Bay Area, East Bay. But I think that's where their brewery was started in Stockton and then moved to San Leandro. I don't know. They now have a tap room in Sacramento, 19th and Q. I haven't been there yet. I think it's fairly new. Also, Jeff all of a sudden is pulling High Water beers out of the store in Southern California, which wasn't the case before. So they've expanded their reach a little bit. I think you can get them pretty much anywhere in California. And the Campfire Stout is what I think they're best known for. And highly rated beer. A lot of people talk about it. It got a lot of buzz for being a brewery that is not very big. And now we have the coffee version of it.
So when I poured this, the first thing I noticed is, man, there's barely any head whatsoever.
Similar to the last beer.
But the coffee, the aroma, the coffee is not coming through as strong as the last beer. I think I was shocked that this is a Campfire Stout, which I'm familiar with that smell, but the coffee's not coming through as much as I thought it would.
No, I do get the campfire, though. Like, that's a... Whatever the Campfire Stout has a little of that smokiness, I'm getting that. And there might be a hint of coffee.
Yeah, and it pours a more of like a darker soda, like maybe a root beer color versus the other ones I think were a thicker, really dark colored. This one more comes out like root beer, maybe a darker root beer.
And it's a little bit lighter bodied, more like light to medium body at most. I mean, it's fairly thin. It almost drinks a little bit like a porter, like a little bit of a heavy porter, which, by the way, I'm really glad we don't have any porters tonight because they're just too thin and watery. But this one is more on the porter side than the stout side, in my opinion.
So this is interesting to me. The Campfire Stout was a little sweet. It had the smoky and it had the sweet. And that's why it was approachable to a lot of people that didn't normally drink stouts or dark beers. They liked that Campfire Stout. And on this one, the sweetness is hardly I don't get any sweetness. And the coffee is a pretty bitter coffee. It's got that cold brew kind of bitter coffee taste, and so it has drained the sweetness out of this completely. So this is a pretty hardcore bitter beer to me.
What I find interesting about this beer, and I think I picked this out first and got you guys to pick this up, and I'm a big fan of High Water. I've enjoyed every single beer that I've had from them. I picked this up because when I read the description, it talked about how this beer is made with graham crackers, molasses, coffee, and maybe even marshmallows, which when I drink this beer, I don't really get any of those flavors except for the coffee. I would never have guessed graham cracker or molasses, or even the marshmallow in this beer, which is, it's not bad, but it's interesting.
I mean, if you burn the crap out of the marshmallow and it's just a charred piece of charcoal, yeah, then I could get
I'm just
that.
Having a hard time getting over the mouthfeel tasting too much like soda to me. Not necessarily, yeah, the carbonation, because carbonation is not like soda, but the mouthfeel tastes like soda. I feel like it's coffee and Dr. Pepper mixed together, and I can't get over that.
I agree with you now that you say that. After a few more sips, to me, it is the mouthfeel. I get that sort of soda-like carbonation, but it's still a good beer. It's not a bad beer by any means. It's not as coffee dominant as I was hoping for. I expected a little bit more from this beer. It's not bad, but I had high hopes.
I think you nailed it, though. I think you look at the description, you read the back of it, talking about the hint of marshmallow, the chocolate, and the graham cracker, and you're saying, okay, all right, let's do this. Let's try this. I want to grab those flavors, and I want to hang on to them. And you keep on grabbing, and all you get is what Dallas said, is you get a very bitter, it's not very bitter, but it's like, that's the most prominent flavor, is the bitterness and the campfire at the end.
I think this is actually pretty hoppy for like a coffee stout. And I think that's the bitterness we're getting, is like the malts have a little burnt bitter flavor, but I think it's also the hops are probably more pronounced than most stouts. And we're getting that bitter hoppy flavor in this beer.
And the last comment on the back of the bottle, it says it will leave you wanting s'more. And I agree. It does leave me wanting s'more.
Well, that didn't go the way I thought it was going to. Not overly positive on our take there, but you can't like them all. We'll see how that compares to the rest of them. But first,
incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
We have some comments this week. Get my paper to separate. So we mentioned this, or we may not have, but St. Archer White Ale was the beer of the day the other day. And Joel commented, this Joel right here, he says, this beer reminds me of a more flavorful, better tasting, less sweet Blue Moon. The craft beer wanker on Instagram just said a check mark with a couple exclamation points in response to Cameron Pryor, who says, not craft. And, I've been looking for some like lighter beers to just have on hand here on the hot days. Blondes, white ales, lagers, pilsners, that type of thing, just for like the summertime. And I think that St. Archer White Ale would be pretty good to have on hand, better than, when people come and they say, hey, can I have a Blue Moon or, something like that. You want something for those type of beer drinkers to be able to drink that's not a Blue Moon, because we know better than they do.
You cannot go wrong with a Kolsch.
I noticed that Allagash White is now coming out in cans. I think that's a pretty good beer that's like universally people could drink it, even if they're not like a hardcore IPA beer drinker, that type of thing. So, although St. Archer is a Miller Coors product now, I think that their beer still stands up against a lot of the offerings from other craft breweries down there in San Diego. Just a couple days ago, we featured the Big Blue Van, College Street Brewhouse and Pub from Lake Havasu City, Arizona. And I took a picture of that beer and by the pool at Jamie Allman's house, our friends down in Phoenix, and she posted on Beer of the Day and said, love this beer, blueberry flavor for sure, but super balanced, very refreshing in the hot Arizona sun. So she'd never had a blueberry beer before, and I went to the grocery store there and just looked at all the Arizona beers they had, and I went to BevMo also, and I bought four or five different Arizona beers and different breweries. I bought a variety pack of one, and then I just hung out at their pool and did 8 beers of the day back to back to back to back to back, and wrote descriptions and took pictures of all of them, and it was just a blast. Had a good time doing some beers of the day, doing some work, you know, on a holiday weekend, Labor Day weekend, you know, you get do some, put a couple hours in on beer of the day and take some pictures and write some descriptions, and it's a lot of fun. So Jeff does this all the time. Joel does it. If anybody wants to feature a beer on Beer of the Day, all you have to do is write a description, upload a picture, and then we'll feature it as the beer of the day. It goes out to thousands of people on Facebook, Instagram, the email list on our site, the text messages. It all goes out, and if you're in an area that we haven't been to before, just today I ran the query on the database, and there is how many states that we've never featured a beer from? Five states that we've never had a beer from. So it's hard, you know, we do the best we can to get beers from all around the country, but if you have the ability to post a beer from your area, from maybe a local brewery where you are, then everybody else on Beer of the Day can kind of get an idea of what the local scene is in different areas around the country. So,
and the first person to post a beer from West Virginia gets a pint glass.
That's right. You post a beer from West Virginia. You post a beer from Tennessee, right?
We should say the five states we're missing are Montana, which we can rectify that because we can get some Montana beers.
But I bought a Moonstrel today.
Yep. North Dakota, Tennessee, West Virginia, and Rhode Island.
Those are the states that have not yet been represented by the beer of the day. So if you have a beer from one of those states, post it up there. We'll feature it as the beer of the day. We will send you a beer of the day pint glass for your trouble.
I guess I messed up when I was in Nashville last month. I should have brought back like just a caseload of beer and we could have fixed that problem right there.
That's true. But like you said, it was such a good time that we got to go back there sometime.
Absolutely.
So let's see. I'll have you tell your story. We'll do a beer, Jeff, and then I'll have you tell your story about Portland. But beer taster San Diego said, "Oh Lord, beer and scooters is not wise," with a beer logo, beer emoji. So we'll have to get your story on that. But first, I'm a little parched. Let's get into the next beer of the night. Oh, Joel doesn't have this one. Sorry, Joel.
It's all right. Else.
This is
drink
from
something else.
Epic Brewing Company. Either from Salt Lake City or from Denver.
So tell us about that. So you guys have two bottles, and those bottles have a list of where they were brewed or bottled, should I say. And Jeff, what does yours say?
So we've had several beers from Epic before, and they have two locations. Mine is from Salt Lake City, release number 93, 11.7%. I don't have a date on mine, but this is different from Dallas's.
Dallas, what's yours say?
Mine is release number 36. From Denver, number 4,300, 12%.
Oh, bigger bang for the buck.
Uh-oh.
Jeff, what's your percentage on yours?
11.7.
See, yeah. The numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11.
And then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, yeah, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
So Dallas, what you're saying is yours is a little bit louder.
Mine goes to 12. So I'm opening it up here.
So why? Let me ask this, because this never happens. Why do we have so many beers tonight that are from so many like unclear cities or locations? We had McKellar, which is potentially from Copenhagen or San Diego or San Francisco or LA or who knows where. We have High Water, which is like from San Leandro or San Jose or Stockton, California. We have Epic, which is either from Salt Lake City or Denver. It's all over the place. It's just, it's fascinating to me. I guess, well, it's
Goose Island is got to be from Chicago, and Firestone is from where? Paso Robles or
yeah, or Buellton. They have two locations.
Yeah, Buellton.
Exactly. Paso Robles or Buellton. Paso Robles is the main location, but yeah, all these multi-cities, but that's fine. Anyway, this beer, Epic. So it's, I don't know if we said it, but it's called the Big Bad Baptist Imperial Stout.
Big Bad Baptist. Now, they have a lower version of this called the Son of a Baptist, SOB, in cans. It's like the lighter version of this. And then they had a, which I bought, called the Big Bad Baptista. Baptista. It's like with Mexican chocolate. And it's the same label, except it's all red and has different markings. So I'll try that one and post that one up too. But
so it's a pretty dark color. I would say dark brown. Again, a fairly thin head. Lots of lacing on the glass, but the head is like a dark tan color. The aroma on this is strong. Like, it just, it smells boozy. And I know it's a much higher alcohol percentage beer than we've had with the first three. But it smells like there's some burn in this beer. And I don't have a bottled on date, but it had to have been in the last, probably 2017, I would guess. But it just smells boozy and strong.
It does. So I poured my half a glass of it, and then there was a little bit of a droplet of beer on the top of the bottle, and I licked it off, and I got kind of a sour kind of quality. So I don't know if that's going to represent it when I get the full sip, but that's my first impression.
I think you're right. So I just had a sip, and it's an imperial stout, but there is like a sourness where I know this is brewed in, or, you know, it's aged in whiskey barrels, but I almost taste like a sour wine barrel flavor that I was not expecting.
Wow. So we're sitting here on Skype, and I'm watching Dallas and Jeff's face, and it's almost like they are just puckering and just trying to breathe through their teeth. I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
Well, okay, so there's a boozy smell to this one, aroma. And then you take a sip of it, and you're expecting like bourbon. This is bourbon barrel aged. Oh, whiskey barrels, right? But yeah, it's more like a whiskey bourbon. Sour. It's like there's like sour mix in it. I get this like whiskey sour taste, not just like straight whiskey. You do get a little bit of whiskey kick from the alcohol, but there's something else here.
It has that sour element that is unique. I mean, it's unique in the world of stouts. Again, not what I was expecting. It's this like wild ale, sort of natural yeast flavor. No, it's interesting.
Some whiskeys have that, like it's like sour mash, right?
Yeah.
What whiskey always says that? Is that just Jack Daniels? They say that.
Michter's.
It sounds like a whiskey mead.
It does. It does kind of taste like that. This doesn't really seem much like a beer to me.
Well, I mean, first of all, there are the malty flavors that you expect from an imperial stout. It's a little more like toasted malt, a little bit of caramel malt sweetness. But you're right. It's got this, it's almost like a cocktail type of flavor. Like this, I had an old fashioned with dinner earlier tonight, and it's like a beer version of an old fashioned.
So is this something that like you would be excited to share with other people as a unique beer?
If they take a few sips of it, like it was such a change, a hard change of gears into this beer, but now three sips in, I'm liking it a lot more. The cocoa nib coffee flavors are starting to come through a little bit. You still get the whiskey, but after three sips, the burn is gone. So it's not as, I don't get the kick. The first sip really kicked me pretty hard. I had a little tough time getting it down, but, now that my palate's getting accustomed to it, it's a lot more interesting, and a lot of the more subtleties of the flavor are coming out. So this might be one that you have to let it grow on you a little bit.
Well, I was thinking it's almost like a wine that you got to let breathe a little bit. I'm really glad we let this sit out for like the last half an hour or so it would get to this temperature. If this beer was like ice cold, I don't think I would like it, but at the temperature it's at right now, which is probably like 55 to 60 degrees, it's really perfect in terms of sipping. And it is a sipper. This is not a beer that you could just sit down and chug this whole bottle on your own.
I mean, I think this beer is as much a sour as it is a stout. If you put this in one of those the brewery bottles and told me this was a sour, I'd believe it immediately.
Yeah. Good point. And there's nothing on here that says anything about it having any sour flavors.
Initially on that first little sip that I took on that little droplet of beer, I was like, uh-oh, maybe this has gone bad or something, like, because it's not what's advertised, but it's actually quite a good beer. It's just not what you would expect. It's not, based on the bottle, it's completely different than what you'd expect it to be.
Wouldn't you consider it a strange brew? We didn't have one tonight, but this might be it. Unexpectedly.
It's the strangest brew we've had tonight, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. Not what I expected, but I like it.
Yeah, me too. So I'm interested to... I don't get much chocolate on this, and it has the cocoa nibs, and I get a little bit of that, but I'm interested to see the Mexican chocolate version of this and see if it's a little more pronounced... on the flavor on that beer. So I'll try that one that's in the fridge right now and report back to you at a later date, either on a podcast or as the beer of the day. All right. Well, before we get into the next beer, I wanted to hear, we talked to Jeff on last month's show, and he gave us his recap of Nashville. And then the next weekend he was going to Portland, and Portland is one of the best beer towns in the country, and anytime anyone goes there, I want to hear what stories they have. So let's see how you did there, Jeff, up there in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I've been traveling a lot lately, and in all fairness, this was not a beer tasting trip. I went up to Portland for a bachelor party weekend, which was a lot of fun, but that included going to some breweries. Probably not as many as I would have done on a normal trip. But I went, started out at Deschutes, which there's a tasting room in sort of like downtown Portland.
Did you go to that one?
Yeah, and everybody loves Deschutes. I mean, Deschutes has been around for a while. They make phenomenal beers. So
I had a conference there that was one block away from that brewery, and we went there every day for lunch. So I'm very familiar with that brewery.
Yeah, Deschutes is sort of, the classic Oregon brewery. But that was great. We went to a few other ones. It's just a big group of guys for this bachelor party weekend. I mean, we were there for 3 days. We went to Ecliptic, which we've had some of their beers before. Ecliptic had a nice tasting room, outdoor patio. It was perfect weather this time of year. They had a little bit of everything as far as the beer goes. There was no one style that really stood out. It was just a very well-rounded place. Reminds me of like Claremont, where you take somebody to Claremont Craft Ales, anybody will be happy because there's a beer there that they would like. So Ecliptic was good. We went to Rogue, which Rogue is, I think, a very well-known brewery from Oregon. The atmosphere there was great. We sat outside, drank beers, played cornhole. That was a lot of fun. And of course,
it busy? They had the distillery right next door, right?
Yeah, it was busy. it's a pot, you know, Rogue is a popular, well-known brewery, and we were there, I think, on a Saturday afternoon. So it was busy, but good vibe. I like the beers. I think we got some food there. I'm sure they have more than one. They have multiple tasting rooms. The one we went to was in East Portland, which is sort of a up and coming part of Portland. So that was fun. And right next door to Rogue is Cascade, which I've been to before. And, you know, Cascade is sort of the epitome of sour beers for me. And we went there, had some great sour beers, sat outside. This trip, we took scooters around, which we got some flack on Instagram for drinking and taking scooters, but I thought it was pretty safe. Scooters are very popular right now, especially where I live in Los Angeles area. But we took scooters from brewery to brewery, went to Cascade on our scooters, enjoyed the sour beers, and we just had a lot of fun. So we didn't go to Great Notion. I'd been there before, but we hit up four breweries and had a really good time in Portland.
I remember back to Joel and my trip to Cascade, and
good Lord.
This is like at the tail end of a trip where we were eating. There was a lot of breweries we wanted to visit, and we wanted to eat a lot of, we had all these recommendations of places to go. So we were eating like four or five meals a day and going to six or seven breweries a day. And by the end of this trip, we were just about dead, and we went to Cascade, and we still, it's hard to deny what a great place that is. Even if you're hungover and the heartburn is killing you, it's still just great sour beers.
There were six of us, and I think five out of six of us had serious heartburn, and two of us have never had heartburn before until we got to Cascade. It's like that was like the trigger that said, you're going to drink seven sour beers and you're going to experience heartburn like you've never had it before. It's really hard to have a flight of like 6 4-ounce sours when you have this heartburn from like a different level that you've never experienced before.
Yeah. Well,
and the thing, you know, I like Cascade, but the one thing I don't like is when you have their tasters, which you have to do because there's a lot of great stuff you want to try. They only let you have
22 beers.
Right. They only let you have two tasters at a time, though. So when I go to Cascade, you know, I'm thinking I got to take a photo to post on Instagram, whatever. I had to borrow beers from other people in order to like make the photo work because they will only let you have two tasters at a time, like 1 ounce tasters. It's a little weak.
Oh, we got a great photo there because there were six of us. We each had two each. So we had 12 tasters sitting there, all different colors of the rainbow. And it looked really cool.
And then we had a huge pile of Prilosec next to it.
That's right.
But it was a good trip. I got to relax a little bit. I don't know if I told you guys yet, though. I'm going to Salt Lake City in a few weeks. And so that's going to be my next beercation. I'm going to go try some beers. Maybe I'll go to Epic.
You'll be able to drink from between 12 p.m. and 8 p.m. only on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Well, the laws have changed a lot. I have not been there for a long, long time. But Salt Lake City is this really sort of booming craft beer area right now. So I'm excited to go there in a few weeks.
So when I looked it up earlier, I was trying to figure out what states that we had that we hadn't had a beer from. And Utah, what we had had 9 beers of the day from Utah, and on the podcast, we've done 5. I think most of those are from Epic. I can't remember what other brewery we had from Utah.
Uinta.
We've had a few. Oh, that's right. Yeah. So we had the pumpkin beers there a lot, a couple of different times. But definitely. If that's a booming beer scene, that'll be good because there's a lot we haven't ever had from Utah.
Yeah, there's a couple big ones in Utah that are distributed outside of Utah, but I think there's quite a few smaller up-and-coming breweries that I'm looking forward to trying.
All right, well, let's get into the final beer of the evening. Joel, you ready for this?
Yeah, so it's weird because we're about to open Goose Island's Bourbon County stout aged in bourbon barrels. I think all of ours are from 2017. So this is at 14.1% alcohol. This is the beer I've been looking forward to all freaking night. And it's hard because I don't want to have too much expectation for this beer, but I had a really big like birthday party last year, and it's like 3 or 4 months ago. We had a bunch of people over here and they were saying, hey, one of my favorite beers ever is the Goose Island Bourbon County barrel aged stout. And I was like, he's like, have you ever had it? And I was like, no, I've never had it. And he's like, it's amazing. And he said that. And then later that night when I was drunk, I went in the fridge and I had one and I didn't open it because I did not want to share it with that douchebag. But anyways, I have it in my hand now. I'm super excited. I've been holding on to this, I think, longer than a year. I think I got it right when it first came out. Mine says August 31st, 2017. I've been holding it for a year and I'm pumped to drink it.
Well, I've had this beer several times before, not this particular vintage, but I've done vertical tastings of it at OTP. They have like Stouter Day. They do it in the wintertime, and they'll have like 13 different bourbon barrel-aged stouts, all 13, 14%. And you try just little tasters of each one. And this one, for me, always ranks up there highly on the list. Highly.
So was your guys' bottled?
Mine was from July 28th, 2017. And this comes out...
Where are you reading this?
It should be on the back. It should say in a gold label next to the barcode to the left of it.
I think this comes out on Black Friday, right after Thanksgiving every year.
July 28th, 2017.
Oh, so you guys are right behind. So I'm a month ahead of you guys.
Dallas and I must have the same beer.
No, I'm 14.7%. Joel, you said a different number.
I'm 14.1. Son of a bitch bastard.
I'm 14.7. Dallas and I have the same beer.
So Joel got his a year before ours. And so
No. It's not a year before. I'm just like a little bit earlier on the... I'm a little later on the batch. So mine's 14.1. Your guys' is 14.7.
Right, but I bought this recently. I think I have another one or two in the fridge, but I just bought this one because I didn't want to have to go digging in the vault.
I've had mine for a while. This is a little early than I would have liked to open this. I mean, this is a beer that you want to age. I also have like the 2014, 2015, and 2016, which I'm looking forward to. This is the most recent one. It's going to be good, but I hope it's just not a little too like hot and a little... too boozy. I hope it's not too boozy.
They still have the 17 on the shelves, Jeff, so you maybe buy another one so you keep your vertical intact.
Mm-hmm.
And for such a beer like this that's relatively low volume, maybe it's the Anheuser-Busch influence, but you can buy this beer. Like, I went to 2 BevMo's and a Total Wine in the last 2 days, and this beer was at every one of them.
That's true. Like three or four years ago, this was very hard to get. It's much more readily available. So I think that's good for our listeners that they can probably go find this beer. It's not going to be everywhere, but if you go to a place that specializes in craft beer, this might be available to you still. If not this year, maybe previous years.
And then here we go.
All right, so it pours very, very, very dark brown, black.
Dark brown.
Oh, sweet Jesus, it smells so good.
Dark brown. I get very little head. It's a very dark beige, light brown head. But even just after the pour, you don't even see the head in the center of the beer. It's just around the rim.
Did you get that little like carbonation cloud as you opened it where it's like looks like smoke coming off the top of the bottle?
Yeah, it looks like little angels.
Yeah.
Little bourbon angels flying out of the smoke.
So the aroma here is quite strong.
It is bourbon. It's bourbon
malt. It's very bourbony. Obviously the alcohol is the most prevalent characteristic here, but I'm getting like some even hints of molasses and the dark malt. I can't even say breadiness. It's something stronger than that.
It's also like a barrel like smell to it, like an actual like oak or
vanilla. Yeah, there's a wood smell.
I think it's vanilla and oak and bourbon. Yeah, it smells delicious.
There's like a humidity that comes off of this beer. It's like you're taking a whiff inside a sauna.
Yeah, it's
thick. The air is thick when you take a sniff from it.
Well, and obviously this was aged in the barrels for a while before it was bottled, right? And that's the whole point. It's a bourbon barrel aged beer. So you smell that mustiness. Joel, what do you think? Your first time.
So my first thought is this is like the port of beer. Like it is like what if you're familiar with what wine port tastes like, this is what the beer best port you can taste is. Yeah. It's a bourbon, brown sugar, caramel. It's like if brown sugar and caramel made a perfect connection, as well as connected with butter and bourbon and oak all in the same taste, this is what it would taste like. And it's also hits you like a strong port that just warms you up. I actually wish it was like 32 degrees in my house right now. And I was like freezing to death. And I was like, hey, I've got to survive. So I got to drink the best thing I can find. And this is what it would be.
But that last one was 11 point something. Mine was 12. It had a kick. Where's the kick here? This is almost 15%.
Well, there's a kick, but maybe not.
It's smooth, though.
Yeah.
This is a smooth sipper.
Joel, I really like what you said about the butter and molasses and brown sugar, because I think those three are really key things that I pick up on. And the port, I definitely get that. I will say the best time I've ever had this beer, and it wasn't the 2017, it was probably like the 2015, was sitting outside by a campfire in the wintertime. This is like one of those beers that you sip by the campfire. It warms you up. It's phenomenal. And it's really, really good tonight. But that setting is one of the best memories I've had of bourbon barrel aged stouts.
So I'm not sure when you go to like a really fancy restaurant and you ask for like their top end dessert, like creme brulee, chocolate, like just like whatever, like they top dessert quality flavor that you get, and you taste it and you're like, man, that's impressive. I've never had something so well crafted in a dessert. This is kind of like what that tastes like. It's like, this is the epitome of a dessert beer that is intense, but also like, you know, you're experiencing something that is like you won't have with every beer.
So I agree, but let's break this down. Is this sweeter than all the other stouts we've had tonight?
For sure. Absolutely. It's also more, it's also more vanilla. There is a ton of vanilla flavor in here.
Yes. And I think there's also more oak or barrel, like barrel flavors, the wood flavor that you get from the barrel, than all these other beers too. I mean, I don't know the comparison of how many months this was in the barrel versus the other ones, but it has more of that oaky wood flavor that adds a lot of complexity to this beer.
But also,
it does, but I mean, how else are you going to even have a 15% beer that is this drinkable? It's got to have some that vanilla sweetness, and it's got to be smoothed out by that barrel. Because otherwise, how do you even consume it?
So anybody who says, Goose Island, you're drinking that a 2017 stout aged in bourbon barrels, it's nice, but it's not craft. Go buy one of these bottles and tell me it's not craft.
Yeah, this beer, when it comes out, and again, I think I don't jump on the day after Thanksgiving madness, but I think when this comes out, it is madness every year to try to get this beer, and then it ends up being available, especially the last couple of years. But there is a lot of demand for this beer for something that's not huge, massly produced. There's a lot of demand for this, and people love this beer. It is, yes, it's Goose Island. It's owned by Anheuser-Busch, but it is still a phenomenal beer that has been made for many, many years. And every year it's a little bit different.
Okay, so I need you guys to do something with me real quick. So take this in your hand, don't drink it, and just smell it and erase every thought of beer you've ever had. You've never had a beer before, but you've had a ton of bourbon in your life. Tell me that's not one of the best smelling actual bourbons you've ever smelled.
It's true.
It is. It's It's sweet though. There's so much sugar there though. Like, I mean, you get some sweet bourbons, but I don't know. There's something desserty about this.
Yeah, but this is a beer that if you could buy 3, 4, 5, 6 bottles, lay them down, let them rest for a couple of years, this beer will be really, really good 2 or 3 years from now. Even better, 4 or 5 years from now. This will get so much better with time. The sweetness will mellow out. The booziness will mellow out. This would be excellent if we could keep it for 2-3 more years.
Yeah, and I actually, like, just drinking this beer makes me want to go out because it wasn't that expensive. It was, I don't know, $14 or something for the bottle. I think you could easily charge $25 for this bottle and get away with it, no problem. So at a 14.7% beer, I think that the price is a bargain, and I think the quality is there. And so it makes me want to just go out and buy like 10 bottles of this and just put them in my wine cellar that I don't have, and then break these out on special occasions or whatever. Because this is a beer where it's strong, but I think that a lot of people could enjoy this that are not beer drinkers. I think this could cross some lines as far as you break this out at a party, give everyone 2 ounces of it, and I think they'll enjoy it.
I think I got to come visit you guys, bring my 2014, 15, 16, whatever I have. We should sit around and do a vertical tasting of this.
I also think we should compare it to Firestone Walker's 20th anniversary. They have a bourbon barrel aged Belgian that I think is worth comparing to this. I have it stored.
Which one?
It is the 20th anniversary bourbon barrel aged Belgian style dark ale. It's comparable to this. Like, it might be better than this. I'd like to taste them next to each other.
All right. Well, let's recap the beers we've had tonight, and then we'll figure out what our favorite beer of the night was, as if, we have to go through the formality. We started off with the Nitro Merlin Milk Stout from Firestone Walker. Then Jeff and Joel had the Beer Geek Breakfast from McKellar. We followed that up with the Campfire Stout Coffee Edition from High Water Brewing. Then Jeff and I had the Big Bad Baptist Imperial Stout from Epic Brewing. And then we finished the show off with the Bourbon County Stout 2017. Jeff, what's your favorite beer of the night?
Well, this is pretty easy, but I want to give some props to Firestone Walker. The Nitro Merlin was the best Nitro Stout I've had in a long time. So, runner-up, Firestone Walker. But in a show like this, it's hard to not pick the Goose Island Bourbon County brand stout. That's just one of the best in the category. If you ask any craft beer fan around the U.S. or the world, that's going to be top 3, top 5, barrel-aged stouts. So it was great. I wish we could have kept this one a couple of years, but it was fantastic right now. The Goose Island 2017 Bourbon County brand stout. Oh, so good. There's no way for me to not pick that one.
Joel.
All right, so my runner-up, because we got to give a runner-up, is the Beer Geek Breakfast Brewed with Coffee Stout. It was just a really just light sweetness, well-balanced beer. I kept on saying that when we were tasting it. It was a beer that I will always take over a, what's that tomato juice drink that everybody drinks?
Clamato?
Come on. No, No, the
Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary. So I will take this as a beer version of a Bloody Mary every single time for breakfast. It has a name, breakfast, in it. I love it. However, I will just say everything that I'll just agree with Jeff. Like, the Bourbon County Goose Island Stout is an impressive beer. It's something that you want to open up and share with friends at any party, and that's why it's my beer of the day.
Yeah. So if I'm picking a runner-up, I'm picking the Nitro Merlin Milk Stout Firestone Walker. I think that was a excellent beer for the style. Reserved, drinkable, tasty, nothing wrong with it. The other two I had, I can't recommend. So my beer of the day is the Bourbon County Stout 2017. This beer is so good. I take a sip of it and it makes me happy to be a human being. It makes me happy to be alive. Like, to have something that is just the quality. Like, I can't nitpick anything that's wrong with that beer. It's like, and 14.7%, 15% almost. It's too good to be true. There's the kick is not there. It's just quality through and through, and great barrel aged bourbon stout. I don't think we've done a show where it's all the 14% ones. You know, like the old Rasputins and stuff. We could go and do a show just on those. The best Speedway, you know, the best barrel aged bourbon stouts. We should do that sometime just to figure out what the best one in the world is. But this one is right up there. It is quite, quite good. So, Bourbon County Stout 2017. I'll take that as my beer of the day. Any final thoughts, everybody?
Good show. This gets me excited for winter time because it's been a long, hot summer. I'm looking forward to a lot more beers like this in the coming months.
I am as well. And that will wrap up the show for tonight. But we thank you for tuning in and remind you to check out our website, beeroftheday.com. We need beers of the day. So if you have a beer in your area that you want to feature, you know, just throw a bone to the local brewery. We'll send that out to thousands of people. 10,000 people on Facebook, 5,000 on Twitter, another couple thousand on Instagram. So we have some reach here, and we will do that, and you can help us out as well. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/beeroftheday. Instagram, @beeroftheday. Twitter, @beeroftheday. We're @beeroftheday everywhere. And that makes it really easy to remember. If you have any comments, send them to us. feedback@beeroftheday.com, and we will read them on the next program. We thank you for tuning in. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. For Jeff Miller and Joel Miner, I'm Dallas Helliker. This has been the Beer of the Day podcast.